And welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick and I get a little rowdy as we chat about Pitchfork Music Festival, the awesome-looking Pipeworks, Ninjas vs. Unicorns cans. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boop, and it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And this week on Chicago Beer Pass, we're not drinking one beer. We're drinking two beers.
Yeah, man.
Different beers. You know, sometimes we do drink more than one beer, so that's not really a surprise. But we have two different beers this week.
Yeah.
But for anyone that's new to Chicago Beer Pass, this is a podcast where Nick and I talk about our drinking adventures. You know, we got the ticket. We got the pass. You know, we're traveling around.
We're here for you.
Seeing the sights and getting drunk, you know. Yeah, it is for the people.
It is, man.
And, you know, we have a great beer that we are drinking for the people today.
Oh,
but
man.
Pre-show and into this show, we were drinking the Beguile Blonde Ale.
Yeah, man. Brewed and bottled right here in Chicago. 12 ounces, 5.4%. I don't know. It's an easy drinking, kind of like almost like an American Kolsch, you know, just kind of light, approachable, malt forward, a Chicago craft beer.
Yeah, this was one of their first 4 days into the six pack. Everything else had been like bombers and everything before that. So it's nice to be able to pick up their stuff and like just have one or two and not have to commit to a whole bomber.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, that's smooth. It's not harsh. You know, it's fine. You know, easy drinking golden ale. That's what it says. That's what it is.
Yeah, I feel like it's perfect for a burger. It's a burger beer.
Yeah.
So I'm liking this one. I got the rest of the six pack in the fridge, and I'll be kicking back on that later, probably. But the other beer we have, which I need to finish this Beguile one before I even open this up, maybe. But we have the Rowdy. We're getting rowdy.
Dude, the root beer invasion is upon us, man.
Yeah.
So we got Not Your Father's Root Beer. We got Forbidden Roots Beer.
Not Your Father's beer. Name. We don't have Not Your Father's.
Right. We got the small town breweries, Not Your Father's Root Beer. The Forbidden Root Beer. And this is entry number 3. So probably won't be the last. It's
3.
Right?
So the fathers have 2, right? So they count as 2, or is there another person?
Nah. Okay. What about Forbidden Root?
Oh, that's not really a... That's not
that's
a
an
root.
Actual beer.
That's a root. That's a beer that has roots in it.
Not like a root beer as you know it.
Yeah. A sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla.
Sarsaparilla malt beverage.
That's a fun word. And what I like about this, man, is that they're telling you straight up, listen, man. Oh, so sorry. It's from Berghoff. Berghoff Brewery right here in Chicago, man. Berghoff is actually one of the oldest games in town, man. This is 6.6%. They're brewing this beer up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, according to the can. This is a malt beverage with artificial flavors added, and it contains alcohol. So they're telling you right away, like, don't confuse this with an actual beer.
Right. It's a malt beverage.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Not Your Father's is kind of crafty about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Their wording is not very straightforward.
They say an ale with the taste of spices.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and disagree with that there. You know, but those guys are super cool. So I'm going to go ahead and disagree with that.
Uh-huh. And so we're drinking this because there's this recent article that was shared by the guys drinking beer.
Yeah.
It's a Bloomberg Business article about how boozy root beer is about to be huge. And this is Not Your Father's stuff. I've seen people that are really not craft beer drinkers talk about this beer, ask if I had it, or not even, I keep calling it a beer when it's not a beer. Mm-hmm. But we cracked this open. What do you think?
But I tell you, man, it's so much fun, man. Right?
Yeah. It's dangerous. It feels too sweet. I think that's what I always feel about the Not Your Father's root beer is just like, this is a sugar bomb.
Yeah. That too. This is dessert for me. I'm not much into sweets. But this is I drink one of these, I'd enjoy it, and then I'd move on to something else, like some water.
Some water, okay. Yeah. You need to wash out your palate, and then you'll go back to Beguile American Blonde.
Yeah, but it's fun for what it is. You know, I'd put it in, fun in the sense how, like, you know, one of my favorite breweries is Southern Tier, right? Mm-hmm. But some of their beers are just straight up over the top, like Creme Brulee or Chocolat or the Mocha.
Yeah.
They're just, like, in your face, over the top, sweet. They're awesome, but they're over the top with sweetness and bordering on, like, a dessert beverage.
Yeah.
For sure.
Man, that Not Your Father's is what, the higher-end one that's, like, 12%, right?
Yeah. I know they've got multiple ABVs on that one. Okay. I think the one that they're pushing through Pabst is like 5.9.
5.9, yeah.
Yeah, but then there are other ones that are much higher.
Uh-huh. Which they don't taste much different as you get up there in alcohol.
It's odd. It kind of all tastes like IBC root beer. Right. You know, which is just, even like the 19% one. You're like, dude, this. We better slow down. This, because this tastes just like root beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun break when you're drinking, or even just like it's almost like doing a shot at a bar.
Yeah. It's almost like it's more like a novelty, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I think the name is really funny on this rowdy, because it's basically like, yeah, you're going to drink a couple of these, and you're going to get rowdy, because you're going to be hopped up on sugar,
yeah,
and then kind of drunk.
Yeah, you got this old-timey, like, paper boy. He's got the paper boy hat, he's got the suspenders, and he's got this huge megaphone, and he's yelling into it, and he's telling you to drink this beer. Mm-hmm.
The Not Your Father's, though, has, like, a look that feels like a beer.
Yeah.
This one straight up feels like a root beer. Like, if this was in your fridge, your kid is going to, like, right? Grab this, like, and just think, like, oh, man, this looks super fun. Look, it's a root beer. Boom. Done.
Yeah. So.
Like that.
Kudos to those guys for putting contains alcohol on the can, for sure.
Do they even say that?
Mm-hmm. Very small font.
Very small. Yeah.
But it does say it.
I feel like this gets shut down quickly. By some mom group out there or something.
No, because it does kind of remind you of, like, you remember Six Point. Six Point had their double IPA for a long time, and it looked like an energy drink can. In fact, it came in that type of packaging.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't like a traditional six-pack with a handle. It was this enclosed box with this really neat graphic on it, and you pull it out, and it looks no different from how if you were to buy six cans of Red Bull.
Yeah.
Right? This is similar to that.
Well, you think Six Point also does that with all their canned beers are, yep, like, skinny.
Yeah.
I have a conspiracy theory about how, you know, kids love energy drinks, right?
Yes.
And so now we have this craft beer revolution, can revolution that's happened. All these canned beers have come out. It's because we got the kids drinking their energy drinks, and now beer cans look like energy drinks, and kids don't want bottles.
So you're saying there's a connection here?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Someone has been plotting this. I put my tinfoil hat here.
Years in the making. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's fun. I definitely recommend trying one of these root beer malt beverages.
Good. It's good. You know, it reminds you of, like, you know, root beer and, you know, vodka or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reminds you of that.
So we're going to get rowdy, but this is not an episode about us just drinking beer. It's about us talking about our adventures in beer.
Yes.
So what'd you make it to this week?
All right. Made it to a couple of events. I went to Pitchfork. The big one was Pitchfork.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right across the street here. This was the 10th annual Pitchfork. 3 days, 30-plus bands. And beers by Goose Island all weekend long.
Okay.
And, you know, they actually, to my surprise, Virtue Cider was there, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
They had like 3 or 4 of their ciders. But then you could get a lot more beverage options this year, I thought, than last year.
Oh, really?
So this is maybe the third or fourth year going. Yeah. So lots of wine. There's a winery called Dark Horse, which I'm not familiar with where they are.
How's that not getting, like, mixed up with the brewery, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, they're totally Dark Horse Brewery, and their logo is like the skull of a horse. Yeah. Cafe Bustelo. And then these are all like non-alcoholic beverages at this point, you know, like the Perrier water and that kind of thing, energy drinks, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you had a whole section dedicated to wine and other beverages, And then you also had like this small village, it seems like three, like two or three blocks dedicated to just like record sales. Like maybe like I would say six or seven record store vendors there, okay, just selling under their own tent, selling all kinds of vinyl, which is something I hadn't seen in the past.
Which is melting in the heat.
You're right. And you're seeing like random like PBR cans and stuff come out of there, and you're like, are they selling PBR over there? Like, oh no, it's just the record store dudes, like, you know, just doing their thing.
Okay.
You know, but yeah, but the big vendor was Goose. And the second biggest vendor was probably Virtue.
Okay.
Those are the ones you could find just about everywhere.
Besides the Budweiser and Bud Light, probably.
I didn't see any Budweiser.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. You buy $3 for two tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. Something like that.
$3 for two tickets. So $3 for two beers?
Or no.
How many beer tickets did it take?
Every beer was three tickets.
Three tickets, okay. Yeah.
So what, like $4?
$4.50, yeah.
Yeah, something like that, about $4.50 a beer.
Okay.
Yeah. But I went on Friday, and then I went on Sunday.
Okay.
They didn't rain out, but it did rain, and they tried to evacuate the place on Saturday.
I cannot imagine evacuating, like, that many people, like, get out of here, storm's coming, all right, come back in.
Yeah, exactly, right? But on the days that I went, the Ogden was gone, and so was 312 Rattler. That was gone. Okay. The Chance the Rapper beer, which is a Hell's Lager.
It was gone by Sunday? They were still there on Friday, right?
They were still there on Friday. Okay. But when I got back on Sunday, they were both gone. There were rumors floating around on how many kegs they were moving out of this thing. You talked to the distributor, Lakeshore Beverage.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's about 70 kegs a day at this thing that they're moving,
okay,
which is a lot of beer.
Yeah, what's that like? Over 6,000 beers, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Like over that, like so. The over like the whole fest. So that was pretty cool. What I liked was that Wilco was the opening the closing act on Friday.
Okay.
You know, they were the headliner, and the guys from Goose were telling me, because some of those guys have a record industry background, and they were saying there was this old festival in the mid '90s called the Goose Island Fest, and that fest was the first time that Wilco played as a band in public as Wilco. Because originally it was just like they knew Jeff Tweedy and they knew he was starting a band.
Oh, okay. But so then, it was the like actual Goose Island Brewery Fest? Like it wasn't like the Goose Island town neighborhood fest? Okay.
Yeah, it was like they insisted on calling it Goose Island Fest. I was like, dude, I've never even heard of this fest. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. The Chance Rapper beer was nice.
Yeah.
Oh, we had that on the show. And it was just more like, you know, just reminiscing about all the acts we've seen up to this point.
Oh, cool.
And everybody chatting about their favorite acts. That's a solid party. So
nice.
I had a good time.
Yeah, I wish I would have been able to make it, but I would only have been able to go on Saturday, and that would have been a mess. And it was it got crazy hot.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm kind of glad I couldn't go. So.
Yeah. What I did notice is that they had these really cool telescopes, Goose Island did. They were like 312 telescopes, you know, with the yellow and
green.
Or urban pale and urban wheat. Right? but they were telescopes. So if you were by the all wooden Goose booth, on each side, you had these two telescopes where you could view two different stages.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, so that was cool. And then, I have the Miss Connections
typewriter thing.
Yeah, it's like this old 60s typewriter, and you can, you know, type out a message and leave it on a board for people. And then right next to that was a Virtue Cider booth.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are some of the differences I noticed from last year.
Last year, okay. Well, last year they had the Miss Connection thing.
Miss Connections, yeah, so... Virtue was new. The telescopes were new.
Yeah. That's fun. Nice.
Yeah.
I tried to make it to go to the Pit or the Pipeworks release party for the cans at Emporium.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuck at work, so did not make it over there, but I did venture around to find cans. It took me like three spots to find cans. I tried Whole Foods first. I looked there because I'm always there shopping. Looked at Binnie's, but I didn't see them there. I think I might have missed them. But then over here at Grand and what's that, Western at the
liquor store.
I went there. They had a whole bunch. And then I haven't been in that liquor store in a while. That's
a big space.
That's a great liquor store. Like the amount of Pipeworks and Spiteful stuff that they have is like, oh my gosh, I haven't even seen half these cans or bottles because I'm going to places that like, you got the big names, like, all right, the big boys, like even the Beguiles are the big guys now.
Yeah, it's true, right? Beguiles in every Whole Foods in the city, yeah.
But these cans look amazing.
Like, dude, there's some badass cans.
Like, I just want to have the cans always in my fridge because they make me feel like, oh, these cans look good. My fridge looks nice. It's not just a bunch of vegetables in, like, plastic. It's like artwork in the fridge. When you open it up, you're like, wow.
These cans make my fridge official.
Yeah. You got to, like, you can't keep your fridge open looking at them because you're just wasting energy. But the beer is tasting great.
Yeah.
You mentioned that it tasted different in the past. I don't remember what it tasted like before.
Beer, it's been out. That beer's been out since maybe NVU's been out maybe since like 2012.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's probably, I think it's actually this their debut beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's been out for a while.
It's a great beer. I think it will quickly become probably a number one beer in Chicago. I think it could potentially rival Daisy Cutter.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason why not going to. The cans look even nicer than Daisy Cutter. Like, Half Acre's cans always look good, but this one, I don't know, the artwork just pops. So I feel like Ninjas vs. Unicorns is going to, you know, be the number one Chicago beer quickly there. Do we know what their next or their other cans are going to be? Have you seen anything from them yet?
I saw some of the prototypes. Haven't seen the actual cans, like the actual beer in cans. I know Blood of the Unicorn, which is their red ale. And Close Encounter, which is the hoppy stout, Warbird, which is a session Belgian ale.
Okay.
I think that's going to be their initial lineup. And my understanding is they've got this canning facility that shares a wall with Off Color, you know, in West Logan. But then they've also got the original location in Bucktown, where so you're still going to see, like, you
those
know,
one-off beers.
Wacky beers all year long. Their first year out, they put out like 64 beers, you know, and most of them were large format bombers.
Well, I think they'll have a hard time keeping up with Ninjas vs. Unicorns, like, without a doubt.
I wonder who they're going to go to distribute through, because I think they're at that point where they need to start finding a distributor, right?
Oh, well, they're not still self-distributing, are
they? Well, up to this point, yeah.
Oh, really? They're driving all that beer around?
As far as I know. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's going to change soon with this new facility, but at the Western facility, they were self-distributing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have to go with someone. No, I didn't even make it to anything, but that was the only thing I really did. I went and bought these cans. I ventured around for them. I traveled quite a bit for them. Did you make it to anything else?
Man, I went to one other thing, man. I went to Sam Adams Summer Cruise was in town, man. So this was the Spirit of Chicago, which is like this three-level boat that leaves from Navy Pier.
Yeah.
They did a three-hour tour where it was just a showcase of Sam Adams' couple beers, the Summer Ale, the Rebel IPA, and then the Traveler, which, if I get it right, is a...
It's their shanty?
It's a shandy. It's a shanty. It's a collab between Magic Hat and Sam Adams.
Okay.
Do I understand it? So,
but it's not the Curious Traveler, because that's its own... Brewery with the mustaches, and those are shanties, right?
Shit, you just threw me a curveball. No, I think that is Curious Traveler, I believe, is Brad's gonna find it right now.
We'll go to the internet as
yeah, because I think the Traveler series is the Magic Hat Sam Adams collab.
So, quick little search on the internet. This turns into kind of a MillerCoors Blue Moon kind of thing,
okay.
Which, so it's Traveler Beer Co. does all the Curious Traveler beers, all the shanties, the Jacko.
All the stuff with the mustache.
Yeah, all the mustachey beers that are like, so yeah, they have an apple ale, they have a grapefruit ale, they have a pumpkin shanty. So there's all these different shanties.
Okay.
So this is under the umbrella of Boston Beer Company.
Man.
Yeah. I did not know that.
It was news to me, too. When you get on this boat, you got the option of drinking, you know, cans from Sam Adams, or they give you a cup of one of these Travelers.
Okay.
Yeah. What I did notice was that they got this can design. It's not a new thing, but I've never seen it, you know, because, I mean, how often are you going to get Sam Adams nowadays, right?
Yeah, not that often.
Exactly, yeah. So they got this new can design. It's called the Hourglass Bridge, right? So it's basically, it's a can, right, but the... But the rim kind of protrudes a little bit more from the spout,
okay,
or from the opening on the can, and then it's supposed to deliver beer to the front of your palate. So they're saying that this changes the way the beer tastes because you're getting a lot of the sweetness and some of the hops. A lot, you're getting it sooner because it's hitting the front of your tongue.
Okay.
Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of those glasses that Sam Adams makes, where he's got that weird glass and, you know, it helps, like, you know, agitate it from the bottom because of the engraving on the bottom of the glass. And it's, he's also, he's got a thing with the lip on that as well.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I believe it.
So, yeah. I mean, I noticed that. This boat, the Spirit of Chicago, got a $3 million facelift. There was a reggae band on the top level. There's like a dance floor in the middle, and then there's like plenty of party space on the bow, and then whatever you call the rear of a boat. I'm not on boats that often.
I don't know.
Anyway, it was the back on the back of the boat. It was a good time, man. It was Sunday cruise on a boat with Sam Adams. So
yeah,
that was cool.
That's awesome. How is the Rebel tasting? Did you try your Rebel?
His beers are all kind of, for me, they're just all kind of middle of the road. You know, they don't suck. So, like, it reminds, you know, 312 Green, the pale ale, right?
Yeah.
It's a fine beer. You know, is it Daisy Cutter? No, right? Is it, you know, is it Oscar Blues, Dale's pale ale? No. But I don't think it's trying to be. I just think it's trying to be like that. The 312 pale is just trying to be a middle of the road pale. I think the Rebel IPA is the same on the IPA side, just trying to be the middle of the road IPA.
Right.
Not really trying to just.
They try to like have this like brandy, like we're West Coast.
Oh, because that's what it says on the can for sure.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't very hobby.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Right.
Mr. Jim.
But yeah. So, you know, they're just playing, you know, going safe, making a solid tall boy IPA. And the label may or may not look like Rebel IPA or a Punk IPA from what was it? BrewDogs.
BrewDogs, yeah.
It might look like that a little bit.
Look at this. All these shady tactics people are trying to do. Trick us into drinking root beer. I thought this was regular root beer.
It's a cold world out here,
I thought
this
was an energy drink. Damn, this is a 6-point. I was duped.
Duped again. Yeah. So, it was a good party, though, man. I think the summer ale was probably my favorite beer, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good beer. Those Curious Traveler beers are just fun to drink because they're such low ABV and they're just, like, they're sweet and delicious, especially if you're drinking all day.
And when it was 85 degrees and the boat didn't leave because there was a full buffet, and so the boat didn't leave for the first hour. You sit there, you find a spot, you know, you eat. And for that first hour, it was shandies all day.
Okay.
Yeah, drank the IPAs once we hit the open waters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd check out or make it to?
No, that was it for me, man.
Cool. Well, let's jump into this week and what we got on the calendar. It's a light week for really odd reason. There's no, like, I don't know, there's no holiday happening. There's no, like, just reason. It's the end of July. Come on, man. We got to get these last few summer days. It's hard to think summer's going to go away before it started. It's going to end here soon. But I think the first one I have on the calendar is Thursday.
Okay.
You anything before that?
No, let's start at Thursday.
So Thursday, July 23rd.
Okay.
Over at Fountainhead is a Tower of Sour, a night of sour ales with the steel on the roof.
Right on.
And they're just going to have a whole bunch of cans from the steel and then a bunch of surprise drafts. They basically list surprise draft 3 times on here, so there must be some good stuff. And, yeah, they're tapping, tapping all 12 of the roof deck lines. I didn't know there was 12 lines on the roof at Fountainhead.
That's news to me. Mm-hmm. I had a St. Dakara from Distill over the weekend. It was like a sour ale with strawberries, and it was spot on.
Nice. I kind of have fallen out of love with their beers for some reason. Like, I just haven't loved the ones I had. I went, like, nuts for them when I first had them, and, like, everyone was lining up for them at festivals.
Yeah.
Now when I have them, I feel like something happened. I don't know, right?
I feel like something happened.
Something happened here.
I hear you.
Missing the love or the...
Operation Overload, I think, is pretty good.
Okay.
And I like all their Santa Cara stuff. Their sour beers are very sour.
Okay.
Like they are very unapologetically sour. Yeah.
Okay. It's fun to get a sour beer in a can. That's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah, and I don't know anybody else doing that.
No, yeah.
No.
Yeah, check that out at Fountainhead. It's kicking off at 7 p.m. How about Friday or this weekend?
Nothing Friday. Should we slide into Saturday?
Sure.
All right, so Saturday is the 25th. The third annual Tribes Beer Fest is happening. You know, Tribes has 2 locations, Mokena, Illinois, Tinley Park, Illinois. The Mokena location is also a brew pub now. This I love the starting time on this. The first session is 10:30 to 1:30. That's awesome. And the second session is 2 to 5. It's a $40 ticket for the third annual Tries Beer Fest. There'll be 25 breweries out there in the South Burbs. Yeah.
Okay. And that's where David went and worked, right?
Yeah.
Tribes.
Not
at that one. He went to Tinley Park, right?
Yeah. But yeah, he's working for Tribes Tribes Beer Company.
Okay.
Yeah.
10:30. All right. If you can get up and get out there, more power to you.
That's awesome. Honey, I'm gone. I got
a beer fest. I'll be back for lunch.
I made you guys breakfast. I'll see you. I'll see you about 5 o'clock.
Awesome. What else we got?
All right. Sunday is the Chicago Small Craft Beer Cruise.
Small, okay.
Yeah, so this is Brewfest Partners. They're bringing out 12 breweries, and they're getting on the Mystic Blue from Navy Pier. This is a Sunday Funday, so this will be from noon to 3:30, and it's a $49 ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know what kind of beers you get? Just
breweries, small breweries, so like Beta Brow, Church Street, Ale Syndicate, some of the newer, smaller local breweries.
Okay.
Yeah.
This could be definitely fun. It's always booze cruises are awesome.
Like yeah, it's on a boat.
You were there this weekend. You know, you can.
It's hard to fuck that up.
Yeah,
you're on a boat.
Yeah, on a boat. Man. Just don't fall off. That's all you have to do. That's rule number one. Don't fall off. We got one more thing happening, right? Don't we have a Mamacue? Got a book coming out, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. The guys over at Mamacue. This is our second cookbook, man. Cheers to them, man. They've done 2 books.
Yeah.
So they're doing a cookbook shoot party. So they're
shoot.
So they're inviting people to come out because they're gonna they're inviting you to come out and they're gonna have beer. They're gonna share recipes from the book. They're gonna just party all day. And then they're also gonna be taking pics that'll be included in their second book.
Okay.
Yeah, and this will be at Redgate Brewing.
Where's Redgate?
I think Redgate is like a homebrew collective.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think somebody's got like a homebrew set up in an Irving Park.
Okay.
So they're just kind of hanging out up there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, we don't even have one book, and they got 2 books.
They got 2 books, man. We need to get on it, man.
What's our book?
Man, we need a third person here kind of jotting everything down.
His ideas.
So that we can do our thing, which is drink.
Right.
And then someone else can record it.
Do they not get to drink either?
No, they're documentation.
Oh, okay.
For sure. And then photos.
Okay.
And then we can do our thing, and then we'll have the book done.
All right. If anyone listening wants to come and help us with that, you can drink sometimes, but maybe after the show.
Drinking is encouraged, but yeah.
But you can't drink as much.
Not
as
your
us.
First, no.
We have 2, you can have 1.
Drinking is not your primary duty, for sure.
If we want to add a third host to this, come on, let us know. At Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter, More than happy to have you here to, jot down our ideas and make them happen.
Oh, man.
If you're super rich, too, that's always a plus because you can fund these ideas, too. I think that's all the events we have.
You're making me spill my
root beer?
Malt beverage with artificial flavors added.
The taste of spices. But we got some beer news happening, right?
A little bit of beer news, man. So, we're going to start with a couple items from New Belgium out in Fort Collins. So this was news to me. I learned this on the boat because shout out to Timothy O'Toole's, man, because those are the guys I party with on the boat. They party hard, man. And there was New Belgium did an event called the Ranger Games where they had 24 bars competing in like these Olympic style games.
Okay.
Right. Like it was at Tally Hall right on the south side where nice. Dusik is. So of the 24 bars, the winner got to make a beer with New Belgium gets to. Anyway, so Timothy O'Toole's won this event. So Timothy O'Toole's is going to go out to Fort Collins this fall, and they're going to make a red velvet cream ale on nitro.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so the two ideas they tossed around, yeah, the first was a black IPA. And I think New Belgium was like, yeah, no, let's not do that. And they were like, dude, what about a nitro beer? And then that's where the whole red velvet cream ale grew from that. So they won this event, so they're going to be doing that this fall, which is pretty cool.
How do you feel about red velvet? Like, there's a lot of people that hate red velvet.
Yeah. Red velvet is for sure like a split crowd. Like, I'm good with red velvet.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I don't like, oh, my God, I gotta have red velvet.
Yeah, I don't like seek out red velvet if I go to, like, a dessert bar or something.
Yeah, but red velvet. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do
Why
it.
Why not?
In a cream ale? Yeah, I'm in. Right. Let's give this a try.
Just thought I'd ask you.
Yeah. A little more news from New Belgium. Tour de Fat, which is their traveling bike fest that was here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And up in Logan Square, they raised $51,000.
Like the whole thing or just the Logan Square one?
Just the Logan Square one.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So the beneficiaries to that were the West Town Bike Shop and Chirp Radio. So this is, you know, 51K, that's up 60% from last year, which is pretty cool. 8,000 people attended that event, and this was all the beer, the merch, and the donations.
Oh,
that,
very cool.
Added up to 51K, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome for a single event like that.
Yeah, totally. Goose Island. Friends over at Goose Island, they had Migration Week in Brazil recently.
Right, yeah.
So they went down there, and they had a Migration Week where they had a Honkers and IPA distributed to Brazil for the first time.
Okay.
I think they hit the two biggest cities in Brazil, whatever those are.
Right? Rio and I'm blanking on the other one, yeah.
You got closer.
But Rio for sure.
Yeah, right. They also, while they were down there, they did a collaboration ale with a brewery called Walls. Which is actually under the AB umbrella, right?
Okay.
So what they did was, so there's this there's a spirit in Brazil called cachaça, right? It's basically like the Brazilian rum. So it's basically like a distilled spirit from sugarcane. So what they're going to do is a Belgian quad that's got a cassia bark, which is basically like cinnamon, and then like some nuts indigenous to Brazil. And this Belgian quad, they're going to age it in this Brazilian rum barrel for like 4 months.
Cool.
And then they're, this is the Goose Island collab with those guys. It won't be kegged and come up here. It'll be kegged and distributed down there, but they're going to bottle it and send some of that here.
Okay.
And it'll be like, apparently they do like the cork and the cage, you know, the really cool bottling. Okay. And they're going to sell it at the taproom.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah,
in like a really small quantity.
Oh, we'll have to make sure we get our hands on that or like get someone to talk about that beer and give a little taste.
I'm very curious about that. And when you look at this brewery down there, Walls, they do about, you know, about $20 million a year in sales. And they do a lot of their beers like that, where they're focusing on, like, you know, nuts and coffees grown in the region. And really, like, they implement that kind of stuff in a lot of their beers.
Yeah. Ken Hunnamina was on the show, like 3-4 episodes ago when we did a No Collar. He was down there. They shot a whole bunch of stuff with this. So they should have, like, a video coming out.
Yeah.
And if you want to see photos, you could probably follow him on Instagram. It's like Ken of the Year on Instagram.
That's a cool name.
So check him out and see what they were doing down there. I think he was doing some hang gliding and drinking and just...
And just fucking living the dream.
Enjoying Brazil life.
Right on, man. So cheers to those guys. There's a new brewery opening up in Madison, Wisconsin. So the Five Rabbit founders, there were two guys, like Isaac Shawacki, who was the guy who left. And then there's Andreas, the guy who's still there.
Right? Okay.
So they had a falling out over some dispute, and Isaac ended up getting bought out. So he's starting his own brewery up in Wisconsin. It's called Octopi Brewing, right? It's in Madison. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a Midwest contract brewery. Right.
Okay.
So they got a 50-barrel system, but they're going to focus on recipe formulation. They got the head brewer from Osos to come on board, Michael Krause. So it's supposed to be like this one-stop shop for beer brands. So what they want to do is focus on new breweries, established breweries, as well as hospitality chains.
That makes a lot of sense because I'm sure that they saw as they were building Five Rabbit, they were contract brewing and the need for that.
Yeah.
And I think they were both Bain Capital people.
Yeah.
So being in that space and realizing like, not to say we can take advantage of this, but just like the need that's there, knowing that, and he's probably still wanted to be in the beer world. So it's a good way to stay in there and probably make more money than Five Rabbit's going to make.
Yeah. I mean, because when you think about like, you know, the beer space and what's next, you know, like, you know, small local breweries, like in the neighborhood breweries, right? And then like, and then private label stuff, you know, the local bar, the local restaurant, getting a chance to have their own beer.
Right.
Yeah. And then, like you said, they've seen this before, so they know what it takes because they contract brewed themselves.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Because wasn't Michael, when he worked at Publican, was off contract brewing somewhere because Publican was going to open up a brewery and they were testing beers. So, you know, as people are like, oh, well, let's see what this homebrew tastes like on a larger scale before I jump into the actual market of having a beer. Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense, man. The 50 barrel brew house, their bottling line is going to make 9,000 bottles per hour. So this guy, Michael Krause, who used to be at Osos, apparently he took Osos from like a 350 barrel operation all the way up to a 7,000 barrel a year operation before he left.
Okay.
Yeah. Pabst is returning to Milwaukee, you know. So Pabst was, it was like a what they called a virtual brewer, right?
Uh-huh.
So they were just brewing for the longest, since 1996, they've been brewing on just like, in Miller brew houses all across the country, wherever,
oh, really?
Wherever okay. Miller brews. That's where Pabst was being brewed. So Pabst is returning to Milwaukee to brew. So they're taking, they're capitalizing on the Pabst popularity. They're going to have a memorabilia shop. They're going to do tours. They're going to have a restaurant and a beer garden.
Are they, like, building a new place, or are they going into, like, an old Pabst?
It's the same place that closed in 96.
Oh, okay.
They just decided, we need to get this tourism money and beers at an all-time
high. So they probably still owned it. They just
yeah.
didn't know what to do with it. And, like, all right, let's just open it back up now that we're freaking rich off hipster money.
Dude, we got to strike now, man. This hipster money's at an all-time high. Yeah, man. And then one bit of news, probably the biggest news of the week, Duval, the...
shutting down?
No, they are not shutting down. They are in the they are rolling.
Okay.
And you know, they're a family-owned business, been around since about 1871. You know, the Belgian, the iconic Belgian beer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They own Omegang in upstate New York. They purchased Boulevard,
yeah.
which is in I believe in Kansas City, Missouri. And you know that Boulevard wheat is the top-selling wheat ale in the Midwest. Period.
That's a great wheat ale. That so, one only rivaled by Upland Wheat.
Yeah. Two very nice beers. Yeah. So they announced their other purchase in America. Well, they're calling it a merger. Firestone Walker, you know. Well,
you told me this before the show, and I missed this story, like, completely.
Dude, it catches you off guard, 100% off guard.
It was like Friday it happened on the Beer Reddit. Yeah. I saw, like, Firestone Walker and Duval to do something. I was like, oh, they're doing a beer. And I didn't even click on the article. Like,
yeah.
That's how.
Because it just seemed like it was a
first
beer.
First off, bad this person made their title. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I think that was, like, to the Firestone Walker blog anyway. Like, I need, like, straight up, like, news outlet report on this.
For sure. They're both private companies, so no one knows what the transaction actually was. There's rumors that, you know, Firestone probably walked away with, like, 100 mil. From this deal.
Okay.
They're going to officially merge, right? So the idea is Firestone, who's number 15 in the country for craft beer sales.
Yeah.
They're now going to be able to grow in a way that they prefer to grow instead of selling to, I don't know, a private equity firm or a larger macro brewery.
Yeah.
This is their way of addressing expansion, it sounds like. And, so walking away with a couple bucks, too.
They've been around for 20 years. So 20 years is about the mark, it seems like, where people are kind of like, yeah, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
So the other person that's kind of that, two other people in that 20-year mark that we know off the top of my head are Bell's and Schutz.
Yep. So
someone's got to be looking at them.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, one of the biggest breweries on the West Coast, a really awesome brewery. One of those breweries that is nailing every style they make. You know, everything from the Union Jack series all the way down to a Parabola and to the, you know, some of the barrel-aged stuff.
Yeah,
you know.
DBA, man.
And it's DBA.
One of probably the best beers out there.
Yeah. So yeah, they're merging with Duval.
What's the, since I just found out about this recently, what's been the internet outcry to this? Have people, has there been one? Like,
you get the impression that, you know, and I don't think it, you get the impression that they're in good hands because they're with an old Belgian company that cares about.
But Boulevard people went nuts. this shit hit the store. Like, they're like,
what is this? Yeah, I'm done.
Is there less of a hometown, like, passion with Firestone because they're not in, like, a small town, like, with, like, a city? They're just kind of California brewery.
Yeah, California brewery and to a larger degree a regional player, right? And some of the states surrounding Cali.
Yeah.
So they're probably to the point now where they're just like, you know what, this is inevitable. This was our baby for a long time. This was something we hung our hat on as far as, you know, regional pride. But dude, it's so good and everybody knows about it. This is shades of gray. I mean, I think this is the trend. You're gonna see this more and more, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's good for them, and if we're going to be able to get, if more people are going to be introduced to their beers and and nothing changes. We haven't had any issues with any of these purchases where people are like, this beer is not good now.
Yeah.
I think we ran into a little bit of that with Goose when they started brewing in New York.
Yep.
But yeah. Since then, I think that's kind of worked itself out.
Yeah, I think people with deep pockets are seeing like, hey, if I'm going to make a purchase for a smaller brewery, it's best that I get them the resources they need and then get the hell out their way and right. Let them do their thing so that we can all prosper, so the beer drinkers can have fresher beer, more of it, and then that so everyone can get paid. Let's just drop some cash
and help them get their beer farther out there and make more of it.
Exactly. You're seeing it with Founders, who they did like a percentage deal with like a Spanish brewery. That's their way of expanding. You know, you're seeing it more and more now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think AB or even Miller Coors buys Duvall at some point? Like
that's funny. I wouldn't be surprised. You gotta think that,
because they are now becoming a force, like to be scared of from those like big names, those big boys.
Yeah, I think that they've got to be both AB and Miller Coors have got to be knocking on doors nonstop, because I mean let's be honest, it's not just a fad. It's not just a fad. It's not something you can look at and say, oh, they're smaller than us and all their beer's not good. You got to look at it like, hey, how can we be a part of what these guys are doing? Because not only are they making fantastic beer, they're partnering with each other and getting even bigger.
Right, yeah.
Perrin and Oscar Blues, those are two craft breweries that got together. There's this Oma Gang, Firestone Walker thing. These are craft breweries getting bigger. Look at Lagunitas.
Uh-huh.
They got three locations. They're going to be number one, over everyone.
That's true. Yeah.
Or Stone, or Oscar Blue, Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting bigger and bigger. So yeah, I think this changes the conversation. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'd love to get if we run into John Bryan a lot at events, and he worked at Boulevard and works at Firestone. He's like the event or marketing person for the Midwest. I'd love to get his thought on it, because he had some good things to say about when they bought Boulevard, and since he's been at Firestone for so long now, it's just like what he thinks of it all.
I'd be curious too, because we're seeing it from a distance. You know, we're not near KC or Cali.
Or Matt, head brewer at Firestone. He's in Chicago all the time, so I'm sure we grab him at some point too and just get his thoughts. I love hearing everyone's thoughts on this and like why it happened and if they're going to leave or stay, and yeah, be fun. Matt Brendelson.
Yep.
Took a minute. Everyone's listening, they're like yelling at me like, Brendelson,
how could you not know that?
Awesome, but good for them. That's a big story that somehow just I didn't even see people talking about for some reason. I don't know. I missed it. I was out of it, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think that does it for this week's episode, right?
Yeah.
We're out of malt beverage just about.
Out of here, man.
Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch. Reach out.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, @Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, @BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, @ChicagoBeerPass. Like I said, if you want to be our third person to jot down our notes, make our ideas happen.
Or help us document.
Photos, anything you want, coming out, tweet us, join us. And our email is chicagobeerpass@gmail.com if you don't use Twitter. And then the website is chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes. Give us a review. Subscribe. More people find out about the show. More people are drinking Chicago beer. And then / Chicago Craft Beer, or not Chicago Craft Beer, Chicago Beer Pass.
We just bought another domain.
Yeah. On Facebook. We're both posting photos and links to events there. Sometimes we let you know about events that tickets go on sale, like Festival tickets and other things like that. Get those tickets early because they sell out.
They do.
So like us up there. We're always sharing good stuff. And that'll do it for episode 87.
Yeah, man.
Take care.
Cheers.